Channel 2, right in the beginning of Visit with Cookie, with Rick and Debbie, this Monday, the 8th, at supper, the 18th of December, 72. Channel 2, right, and beginning of Visit with Cookie, with Rick and Debbie, this Monday, at supper, the 18th of December, 72. Channel 2, right, beginning of Visit with Cookie, this Monday at supper, with Rick and Debbie, the 18th of December, 72. Channel 2, right. And beginning of the visit was Cookie, with Rick and Debbie, this Monday at supper, the 18th of December, 72.
The breakdown of the ceasefire talks in Paris has caused a number of politicians and government officials in Washington to question the credibility of the White House. Some critics are saying the president may have changed his mind about the terms of an agreement after he had won the election. Others say the White House may have been deliberately deceiving the people when it announced on October 26th that peace was at hand. Senator Stuart Symington of Missouri was asked about this today by our congressional correspondent, Paul Duke, and this is what Symington said.
I took all this talk in October on face value, and it's just turned out not to be true. And at the time it was given by Dr. Kissinger and others,
okay.
People who really do know
something
about it in the administration told me that it was not true, that they were not as close to peace as they were saying they were, and they have been proved to be correct.
You feel the administration lied to the people?
Well, I think that the people were misled. Now, whether they were misled voluntarily or involuntarily because of the great desire to get peace, I don't know. But I do know that the position that was taken by Dr. Kissinger, presumably he being the number one representative of the administration, as we now all know, in foreign policy, as given out on October 10th and October 26th, I believe, turned out to be wrong.
And the people told you that we were not as close to peace
as
seems indicated. That's
right. That is exactly right.
There was a technical meeting in Paris today between American and North Vietnamese experts, but when word came of the American raid near Hanoi, the North Vietnamese suspended the talks and may boycott this week's session of the regular Paris peace talks.
Well, they wouldn't lose the saying as it is, would they?
No.
When were we going on that hayride, Cookie? That was last night, wasn't it? Or night four?
No. I wanted to talk up one. When do y'all want to go?
Well, that wind. We had 2 days of wind.
Yeah, too much wind, yeah. Just like tonight. Tonight would be a wonderful night. There ain't no wind. Ain't too cold. But ain't none of us together. My family's off Christmas program tonight. They're going to have a Christmas program at school tonight, you know. So, yeah, and then Laura, she got a Christmas party at the hospital. Frank had to work, and I had to goof off.
Well, you're the transportation man.
Yeah, I'm available.
So you can't get in on all this stuff yourself. You got to stay loose.
Yeah. I'm gonna gotta go to Georgia tomorrow.
Georgia?
Yeah, I'm on Georgia tomorrow.
It wouldn't take much trouble to have a little hayride in there. They can drum up a little sport, can they?
Going to Georgia tomorrow. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, I'm loose.
Mars Tuesday.
Mars Tuesday.
Have your bread over
there. Mars is sale day in Quitman, Georgia.
Well, what happened to you on that sale day? You were going over there and disposing of all your animals. After 2 or 3 weeks.
I disposed of some.
Well, something happened then. I don't know what it was. Was it bad weather?
Bad weather, yeah. Too bad.
Oh, that's right. That was that salad.
It rained.
Yeah. Too rainy. Man, it rained all day.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do nothing. I couldn't even get outside.
Well, nobody gonna buy much of anything in the rain, is it?
No, uh-uh. Well, weather prediction now tomorrow is supposed to be pretty in southern Georgia and northern Florida. And there's going to be plenty of people in Quitman, Georgia to buy a workhorse, and I'm going to take them one to sell them.
Oh.
I ain't got no use for him. That fella made fun of him, and I wouldn't sell him to him if he'd give me $500 tonight.
Did he know anything about horses?
No.
And he ordered it, didn't he?
What's that?
He ordered that horse. Told me to bring him back a good workhorse. When I brought him back a dandy, and he made fun of him.
Like a handsome horse to me. What bothered him?
He just didn't look to suit him. He wasn't slick. Well, you ain't going to get a slick horse from West Virginia now because they got their winter coat on.
Yeah, that's right.
You ain't going to get a slick horse from up there. Not unless one stayed under a blanket all the time.
Well, you look at these little calves down here. They're not very slick either.
Mm-mm. No.
You know, that's curious. I just come to think about it. The cows are a lot slicker than the calves.
Mm-hmm. They are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look like teddy bears all fluffed up.
Boy, they was bringing money in Gainesville today.
Cash?
Yes, my fella. 48 to 57 cents a pound.
Mm.
They were high. Because there wasn't very many there. And them packing house buyers was getting on.
Oh. They needed them.
They need them. They're going to get them.
What are you doing up that day?
I took my horse to the vet. Hospital.
And just stopped in?
Just stopped by. Curious. Nosy.
Good place to eat if you're up there.
Yeah, it ain't been too long since I eat up there. $1.26.
Not all.
$1.20 and 6 cents a pack. 5 cents a pack.
And all the food you get there?
All I could eat. All I could eat.
You mean they tax food now?
And the restaurant, yeah.
They have some vegetables, I bet.
Oh, my goodness. They had black-eyed peas and butter beans cooked together today that was out of this world.
Never heard of that.
If you just get a little bucket and take them with you, it would be something, wouldn't it?
If you get, no, a big bucket.
Black-eyed peas and
butter beans.
Cooked together.
Cooked together. Now, they was out of this world.
Trouble is, they just got one meal a day up there, and they just got it a couple of days, 3 days maybe.
At the market.
3 days a week. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And they're closed the rest of the time.
Yeah, what's Tuesday, whole day?
Mm-hmm. Well, now they're having a horse sale tomorrow, a special horse sale.
Yeah, but that won't take long.
I don't know. They're anticipating a pretty good turnout on horses tomorrow.
They trying to cut in on equipment?
I don't know. I'm going to try to make Georgie and then get back to fair in time for the tail end of that one.
Cookie, you're going to be doing some flying.
I'm going to move. I'm going to be moving, yeah.
And you didn't make it?
I'm going to try it. I don't know. I'm going to try it.
I just spend the night in the hole.
No, ain't no way to spend the night in Quitman, Georgia. I wanted to go to Sylvester this afternoon, but I had to take that horse to the vet.
Which one?
That little quarter horse I brought back from West Virginia.
Yeah. The one trying to fight?
Mm-mm. No, the one he liked is still up there.
Still in West Virginia?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't been in on any of this information. Looks to me like this, it must have taken you all a week to get that trailer going.
Mm-mm.
It's bound to have taken a week.
Well, I started work on it on Friday evening. I went to Gainesville and picked up my parts Friday morning. I went to work on it Friday evening. And pulled out for West Virginia Tuesday evening with the trailer. With the trailer and a horse in it.
And that's with those brakes hooked up too?
That's right. Everything.
You started from scratch. All you had was a chassis.
Yeah, and it wasn't together right. I had to rebuild it. Wasn't welded good enough. I had to re-weld it all.
You mean cut it loose? Or just...
No, it was just spotted in there. Well, I welded it all away.
You know, something that big can't be spotted, can it?
No, you got to have it put in there to stay. Of course, if that thing would break in two with a load of horses, well, you'd have horses strung between here and Tennessee.
That's right.
It's got to be right.
If you're just going to pull a trailer around, slow, it don't matter.
No, you can both of them together. Yeah. But I was going to get a load of horses.
And you wasn't going 15 miles an hour?
No, not hardly. Because I left here and pulled that horse up there. Me and Frank stopped and slept 6 hours and still made it in 21 hours.
That's good,
isn't it? Yeah.
To your home?
Yeah. Go in 15 hours. Driving time. 850 miles.
Well, looks like that little truck's back on his feet then.
It's back on his feet. He's got his ears, people back.
What was that last part?
It's got his ears peeled back.
Yeah.
Now, it was something to see me pull Smoky Mountain with that little old pickup.
And all that horse trailer.
All them horses behind it. Now, let me tell you, it was something.
There wasn't just one horse in there.
I had all them horses in there coming back. 7,000 pounds of weight, trailer and all. Now, it wasn't all of it. I brought a hell of a cook stove from West Virginia.
Cook stove?
Yeah. I had a set of harness back there in the back of my truck. I had a saddle, two saddles. I had my tools, my chains. I had a spare tire for my trailer, a spare tire for my truck. Me and Frank had our clothes back there. And I had 100 pounds of feed for my horses in the back of my truck. I had a load on the truck without the trailer. Then I just hooked the trailer on and hoped it would come too.
Well, if you get up a little momentum, then that takes the weight off you.
But now let me tell you, when I was coming down that grade, just the other side of Dayton, Tennessee, and it's slick, and they had cut the road off on me, made a sharp curve to the right. There was no place for me to go. I couldn't make the curve, but just keep on going straight down the wrong side of the road. There was nothing left for me to do but just take right on down the wrong side of the road.
Your gear wouldn't hold it.
No, the tires were just sliding. I got my brakes on and they were just, the further I went, the faster I got. I had to get off my brakes and get on the gas and just keep on going or I'd have piled them all up.
Well, they could put a little marker by the side of the road.
I think someone got the same thing I had, got in trouble and tore it down. Dad had one up. We saw it later.
Later,
but they had been. It was tore down. Someone run over it. Now I didn't run over it.
But they're not liable for that.
No.
The highway department not liable.
No, you're supposed to see that out there. It's slick and raining too. It had froze and then started to rain on. Warmed up, started to rain. Now you talking about something slick?
Well, it's a good thing nobody was on the other side of the road.
It sure is, because it's been Katie bar the door.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. You can just skip that chapter if you want to. Go over.
Yeah, I'll gladly skip that chapter.
Yeah, you didn't mean to bring it up. You know, just let that go.
Let me tell you, fellas, there ain't nobody had as close to call as Frank had.
That is true.
No. 3 weeks ago. Be 3 weeks ago tomorrow. And I'd go home and find him stressed out on the couch. He didn't know how he got home, when he got home, nor where he'd been, nor what had happened.
Why could he?
And he didn't know nothing until the next day, actually. It almost killed him. He just got so much dope that it almost killed him.
Oh, you don't mean he had an accident. He had, you mean dope?
Dope. Dope. That's what Dr. Allman diagnosed it as LSD. That's why I went up the country. That's why I've been keeping him right with me for the past 3 weeks.
You still keeping
him? I let him get away from me a little while. I just got through checking on him over at the station. See that he's all right. But he ain't been out of my sight. But just very little of the time. I took him up the country and kept him right with me.
Oh, yeah. What you
think? Took him right with me. Wouldn't let him go no place. I even when took him over to see his girlfriend. By golly, I went with him. I stayed with him.
He knew what you were doing.
No, he didn't know what I was doing. But if you don't know what you used me to go to a doctor. And talk to the doctor. I need not do what the doctor says to. He says it's either you do it and keep in contact with him till he wears this off, or we'll have to put him in confinement.
Oh.
Right. Yeah, the sheriff come out. Rode up a big write up about him. Right there in my house. Ed was there. See, he had Ed's truck. He wrecked Ed's truck. Had your Ed Chevrolet pickup? He wrecked it. Tore my gate down.
Mm-hmm.
Tore my gate down. Front gate. Sure did.
And wrecked Ed's truck.
Wrecked Ed's truck. Come in, had drugged him in the mud. His buddies that was with him had drugged him in the mud. For that boy's nose was stopped up with mud. His mama, Helen, took Q-tips and cleaned his nose out so he could breathe.
I just haven't seen the real truth.
That's the truth, and Helen will tell you the same thing. It was in his ears. He had mud in his ears. That's the truth. Now, Helen will tell you the same thing. Now, that's how close a call that boy had. Dr. Allman told me, he said, Mr. Cook, he said, you get him away from his surroundings and keep him there till he gets straightened up. Just like he told me to do with Laura. Same thing. And you know how I brought her out. And she told me, Laura told me, she said, Daddy, said, ain't one thing to do enough, you take him up the country. He just stayed dad there all the time. I wouldn't even let him go upstairs and go to bed by himself. I went right upstairs with him, went to bed with him. Sure did. I went horse trading, he went with me.
But he liked that.
Yeah, he bought two. I let him buy two, you know. I let him get that. Kind of get self-confidence back, you know.
He was right.
He's well pleased. He wants to keep that big horse. Apex. He wants to keep him in the worst way.
I can see that a lot.
But I don't know whether I'm going to be able to or not. He's just as gentle as just as gentle as a dog. You get him out by himself.
Yeah. Yeah, he would. With that other horse, it made him nervous.
Yeah, that other horse will make anybody nervous. But now, after tomorrow, he ain't going to make me nervous, because I'm going to sell him tomorrow. He got to go. I was figuring on selling Ozark, that little quarter horse that I brought back, but I had to put him in the hospital.
Is he? Oh, that's when it hurt his leg.
Yeah. Leave him in the hospital, I guess, till Wednesday or Thursday.
Hurt his leg on the trip?
Yeah. That cost me $50.
Well, just don't tell me things like that. Whenever you get to the cost, just skip it.
But that trade in West Virginia must be more fun than it is around here. It must be more horses up there, could it?
No, that's just, you just got to go out in the woods and dig them out. You just got to comb them woods and get way back in them woods and find them.
Really?
Well, you do pretty well up there. Seems to me you find more up there than you do here.
Yeah, I find more, and I enjoy it more. Because them people up there, They're different from out down here. You see a horse out here on a, in the pasture field and stop and ask a man if he wants to sell it, why, give you some smart remark 95% of the time. Up there they don't. Why, they jump right on you. They just like, they want to sell you a horse.
Oh.
They get, now I mean, they're just as hard to trade with as I am, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so funny.
Yeah. I don't know what it is that makes them so hard, so hard to deal with down here. What it is. But if you get these same fellas up there, you see, they act different.
Well, I know one thing. This one fella I bought them horses off of, he gave me a hard way to go. He loaded me up with horses right quick in a way, and in a way it took me 2 days to buy them.
How's that?
I went to look at them on Friday and it was raining. I drove out and looked at them. And I went back and told him what I saw. And yeah, he said, them's the horses. But he said, come back tomorrow. That was 35 miles from Dad's, you know. He said, and I'll go with you. Well, look at them. Well, I went out there on Saturday. And I didn't get to load them things till Sunday evening. I had to make 3 trips to get them horses. Right back out in the sticks, by golly, just about as far as you stick a butcher knife. And at the end of the road, right at the end of the road, they wasn't, I mean, that was it. His price was all right. But he just wouldn't settle down and let me load them horses until Sunday evening. Finally, I just told him, I said, well, now, Mr. Castor, if you want to sell me them horses, why, let's go. I've got to load them and get out of here. He said, all right, I'm going to let you have them, every one. But he said, you got to take them off.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't figuring on buying Ozark and a little quarter horse, Frank Laxwell. I wasn't figuring on buying them. I was figuring on buying West Virginia and Apex and coming on back. But I had to buy all of them in order to get what I wanted.
Mr. Who?
Casto.
You had no, did you know it?
No. I got acquainted with him, though, right quick. He's the owner of the Spencer Department Store in Spencer, West Virginia.
Well, how come he lives up the end of the trail?
I don't know, but he does. He lives at the end of the road. And I don't see how in the world they got the brick up there to build a house. Unless they took them horses and hauled them up there.
I know what you mean. I've seen that.
Now, I'm telling you the truth. I don't see how he got all that brick in there. They couldn't take them on in on a truck because it was all I could do to get out of there myself. I thought when I'd take him horses off and hook to the front end of my truck and turn it around, by golly. That's just how close quarters it was up in there turning around.
Well, how come him having all them horses, the head of the department store?
He used to have a riding stables before he bought the Spencer Department Store.
Oh.
And he refused to sell these horses. He was offered $550 for Apex, and he flat turned it down.
Yeah.
He was offered $350 for Ozark, this little quarter horse. And he was offered $300 for that little quarter horse that Frank wanted. And $150 for that little old Riby pony that I bought. And wouldn't take it.
At that time.
At that time. But he ended up taking a lot less.
He just held on to him as long as he could.
That's right. But he's 73 years old.
Oh. And didn't have any help.
No help. He had to take care of them horses himself. And he drove that 72 Buick automobile up in that hole every day to feed them horses. Every day. He wouldn't walk at first from here to my trailer. He drove that Buick. But as far as the barn, was as far as you could get an automobile. And that was it. You couldn't go no further, because that was the end of everything. Just a mountain facing you. All the way around.
It was right in the side of the hill.
Right beside the hill, yes, sir. Then where I went and got Bob, that workhorse.
Well, how much establishment did he have up there? House?
Oh, yes, he had that big brick, fine brick home up there.
But he didn't live there.
Oh, yes, he lived there. But he drove that car from his house on up the valley to feed them horses every night rather than walk.
Oh, he had to keep on going.
Yeah.
To get to the horses. What did he have up there?
Just a barn.
Just a barn.
Yeah.
They sure they've had good care.
Oh, yes. He really took care of them. And the little Bob horse that I brought back for that fella up there at Orange Heights, now I bought him out of the harness. The man was working him, and he pulled the harness off of him. I loaded him in my pickup. Yeah, sure was. Let me old boy haul the manure with him.
Oh.
You just saw him?
Now, Dad knew where he was at, but he didn't know where that I could buy him. He knew this fella had some horses.
You were really looking for was that horse like Bob, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's really all I was really interested in was after I done traded, done some horse trading. See, I traded. Got there on Wednesday night or Thursday. I traded for two and bought one. Straight out.
Oh, Cookie, you took one with you.
Yeah, I traded her off. That blind mare that I had over there.
Blind?
She was blind as a bat.
Why not you then, Pastor?
She was blind as a bat.
Don't tell me.
Did you know? I mean, I couldn't tell. I
knew she was moon-eyed, yeah. But that's a horse trader's secret.
Oh.
I traded to this man, and he turned her out in his fast field, and she fell over the hill. I traded her for the second riding. My dad's got him in his barn right now.
You mean a Pinto?
A Pinto, that's right. A 2-year-old Pinto. Worth three bills.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
And I got $25 in money and a set of harness. And the horse for my little White Lightning.
Well, What keeps them from running into something when they are flying?
I don't know.
If they're where they know.
Yeah, but see, she didn't. I took her right out of my trailer and turned her out in that pasture field, and she didn't know where she was at. She was lost. She couldn't even find the feed box.
She could come to your voice.
Yeah, she'd come to you. Yeah.
Cookie, I kept trying to make a 3-year-old mare out of her. She was a little over 3, wasn't she?
She's 5.
Was she?
She's 5 years old. That's how old she was.
Exactly. Right?
But she can be fixed. I mean, she get her eyesight back.
Get it back?
Yeah, she'll get her eyesight back. Because I told Daddy what was wrong with her, and he said, well, I'll tell Mr. Gibson what's wrong with her, and he said he'll get her teeth pulled.
Her teeth pulled?
Yeah. She had wolf teeth. They have 2 teeth up here. They come down when they're 5 years old. Alright, instead of them coming down, they went up. And they pressed the nerves on the nose and caused them to go blind. That's right.
And they remedy that?
Oh yeah, they can pull them out. Simple procedure.
You ever seen it done?
Yeah. Well, down here it'd be costing me $50 to got it done, see.
Uh-huh.
Well, I ain't gonna pay no $50 to have my horse teeth pulled. They're floated either one. Unless you've got a little bit of knowledge of doctoring a dumb animal yourself.
Yeah.
Now, you could really get into some money.
Yeah.
But I'd went as far as with that little horse that got crippled as I could go. And there wasn't nothing else left to do, only just take it over there and let them take care of it. Now, if it had been in the same climate, it'd have been a lot different. If he'd got hurt up in West Virginia, well, he would just kept on wading the mud and slush and so forth, and he'd have got well himself. But he came down here, see, and changed the climate, and it's just different.
It does make a difference?
Yes, sir. It does make a difference.
Especially if there's something wrong with it.
Yeah. But I was telling Rick and her out there this afternoon, all the horses I brought back, none of them caught a cold. None of them caught a cold. Now, them horses I had out here the other day, they didn't have no cold.
Moderate, like it is today.
Yeah.
They're still cold.
Yeah.
And it takes them a while to get used to it.
Takes them a week or 10 days to get adapted to it.
And I have no idea what it is.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've never been treated like we was treated in Olive Hill, Kentucky. Now, me and Frank stopped there. I mean, Frank was just crazy as a bean bug. I had to stop. Unloaded my horses in the stock pen, you know, and I took him up and we got us a bed in the old hotel there. went down to eat her supper. Midnight snack. Heck, it was... But about 10:30 when we stopped, and by the time we got our horses unloaded and fed and watered, I got up to the hotel at about 12 o'clock. And, but then, I wasn't hungry. I was disgusted. Really and truly, I was disgusted.
This thing came back on you?
Yeah, it came back on me. I didn't know how long I was going to be holed up there, you know. Well, he ate a great big meal there at midnight. And then I asked him, I said, well, Frank, you ready to go to bed? Yes, sir, he said, I think I don't sleep tonight. He said, you know, I'm kind of tired. Well, I said, all right, let's go to bed. Well, we went upstairs, and bed wasn't the best in the world, but I laid there, you know. It was, you've heard of inner spring mattresses. Frank called it an outer spring mattress. He said, it's this outer spring mattress. He said, the spring is on the outside. And I was ready to go to sleep on account of him, but he went to sleep and slept like a baby. I mean, he just, oh, he slept hard. And I didn't doze off until, I imagine 5:30 the next morning when I dozed off and went to sleep. Got up the next one. We got up at 7:30, 7:15, something like that. Went downstairs. And, you know, we got 2 eggs, bacon, toast, grits, and a great big spoon of jelly right in the middle of our plate, you know. Kentucky style. It's a 45-cent piece. I couldn't believe my own eyes. Cost me 90 cents for both of our breakfasts and $4 for our bed that night.
They don't know what the year is, do they?
They went back in the 1930s and wrote those figures down.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the truth. It cost me $4 for our bed.
Yeah.
There wasn't nothing modern about it. What I mean, no modern facilities or anything. But my goodness, you can't even find a parking place for less than $5 a night. And got a hold of the police, and he took us down to the stock pens and broke the door down, let us get in and unload our horses. Right there in Olive Hill, Kentucky. Wouldn't charge us nothing, wouldn't have nothing, wouldn't even let me buy him a cup of coffee. Wouldn't let me buy him a cup of coffee. Right in Olive Hill, Kentucky. It's an old country town, and the people are country with it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear it. Right up there against the face of that hill.
Yes, right against the face of that hill.
All you got is just one little old narrow street there.
One street and a few side streets to turn off to the east.
Is it east?
Yeah, it's the east. Because you can't go west. If you go west, you go up over a cliff.
That's right.
And I'll tell you what I did. I bought 50 pounds of horse beef for $2.20. $2.20 I paid for my horse beef. 50 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And down here, I think it's $3.10 for 50 pounds.
You didn't know it, but you were just 15 miles from where Bill Gary is, right straight down that same U.S. history. And he got a whole basement usually took over. And you see it down there, big barn down there? They used to have cows in it. I don't imagine he got cows now.
What's his name? Bill Gary.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm gonna be coming back through there in the near future. I may have to unload again.
Yeah. You unload. You unload and tell him that you have heard about his reputation from
Westview. Heck, I might take you with me.
He had the feed store.
There in Olive Hill.
No, in Moorhead.
Moorhead.
That's the next town.
Yeah, next little town. Yeah.
And he built a new one while I was there, over on the railroad. He just had a hole in the wall up there. And I remember all these sacks of feed that he, fertilizer that he busted, he'd take them out there and put it on his own place. I guess he marked them all.
Yeah, I might take you with me.
Get rid of me for a while.
Yeah, we might go up there after Christmas.
Well, I'm on there, I got over there. That's right, but as far as I know, I don't know that I'd ever get back.
Dad asked me when I was going to bring you up.
That country's different. That's a different kind of country. I don't know how people stand it down here a long time. They just don't know, some of them, don't know any different.
Well, that place where Dad lives there, It's over in the sticks. It's a nice place as you get there. But you got to go down this one hill. You go down one side, then you twist right back around and you come back down like this. Real sharp horseshoe turn right there. Mm-hmm. I took my trailer in there. They're quite lightning in on my trailer, you know. There ain't no problem going in. But when I come back out, I loaded three on there. I loaded Big Bob, and Little Bob, and a little pony. One blanket box, you know, for my girlfriend to keep her from having to feed it. Okay. Daddy said, you'll never make it back out. I said, oh, yeah. Well, they said, my truck won't do it. He got a new 72 Chevrolet, V8. I said, yeah, I'll make it. Well, when I got to the bottom of the hill, I looked up at the hill. I said, Frank, you think we'll make it? He said, just keep on getting up, Daddy. I kicked that thing on the floor. I held it right on the floor. And you know I didn't spin a wheel going up that hill. I just kept right on climbing. I outrun Daddy going up that hill. Him empty.
What gear did you have in
there? I got automatic.
Well?
I had it in drive.
Yeah.
But it never kicked in low gear. It didn't ever went down in low gear. I kept the RPMs up enough to where it didn't put enough pressure on it. And it stayed in drive. Of course, now I imagine if I kicked down low gear, I'd have spun.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But I kept it in drive. We got out the hard road. I stopped and gassed up. Daddy said, that sold me on automatics. He said, next night it's going to be an automatic. Or I'm not going to buy it.
Oh, he never had an automatic?
Never had an automatic. He didn't know what they had. And he got a V8 engine, and I got a 6-cylinder engine.
Yeah.
But pulling over that Smoky Mountains on an interstate, now it was something to see that little old pickup of mine pull that load of horses over there. That's steep.
Oh.
But I It never stuttered, no way, shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah.
And it never run hot, it just kept right on going. And I never used, but I still ain't used a quart of oil from the time I left up there till I got back.
Well, normally I say I don't believe it.
Well, I can prove it. And I got between 13, 14 miles a gallon of gas coming back, pulling that load of horses. And I can prove that, of course, I'll do it again.
Golly, Clear, that truck's better than it was when it was new.
It is. It's getting better all the time. Going up, being frank, figured it's a little better than 15 miles a gallon.
And you're pulling those?
I was pulling a trailer with one horse in it, going up. And Laura's car won't get better, it won't do, but it won't get over 12 miles, no way. And she got the same engine I got. But she didn't break hers in like I did.
Oh, that's the difference.
When I bought that thing, I broke it in before I got out of stock. I had to do it 75 miles an hour, and I just kept it right on the carpet till I got it home. 75 miles an hour.
Is that the way you do it?
That's the way I done that. If I had to buy another, that's the way I do it. 75 miles an hour. Of course, that's average speed now, 75 miles an hour. Break them in the way you want to ride them.
Well, this old business of breaking them in 30 and 40 miles an hour?
They broke in when that motor set in there. That motor's been pre-run for 500 miles before it's ever set in that chassis.
That's right. You can buy it off the floor and go.
Oh, really?
Why do we get told to do it the other way, I guess?
They don't tell you as much now, do they?
No. When I bought mine, Mac Baldwin told me, he said, Cookie, drive that, break that thing in the way you're going to drive it. And that's just what I've done. Daddy broke his in about 60 miles an hour. And you get it out on the road, it's lazy. If you get above 60, it gets lazy. And he ain't got the 7,000 miles. If you get above 60, why, it starts getting lazy.
No, he don't get above 60.
No, he don't get above 60. But when I drive it, I might want to get above 60. I pulled that trailer 65 to 70 miles an hour going up. Thought nothing about it. You got to drive with the traffic or you'll get run over. Now, if you don't think I'm telling you right, you drive through Atlanta, Georgia.
You mean they go right on through?
I-75 goes right through Atlanta, Georgia, and if you don't drive with the traffic, you're going to get run over. Yes, sir. I pulled that trailer behind that thing, right down through Atlanta, right with the traffic. Speed limit varied between 45 and 65 miles an hour. And I stayed with them. Bumper to bumper.
You had a whole boxcar.
But that don't bother me a bit in the world. Lots of people think that's hard on me to get out there and drive like that. But I'm comfortable sitting that thing driving. I can sit there and drive, by golly, for 18 hours and never stop.
They have done it so much.
That's a lot easier than those big trucks you used to drive.
Yeah. I stay right with them, too.
Well, this don't have any jerk about it.
No, it rides just... That trailer behind it rides just like an automobile.
Yeah.
That big feather's easier to pull than that little one.
Well.
A lot easier to pull than that short one. That short one gets that back end go up and down like this all the time.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the one you had over there hauling the two horses? Right?
Yeah.
That's a curious thing. It's hard to understand. They just don't have a balance.
They're not balanced. They're not balanced. Because in back tires, that back axle, in back tires is right close to the back end of that trailer.
Yes.
You've got no back overhang at all.
Yeah.
Where my axles is right directly in the center of my load space.
Yeah.
I've got 16-foot load space. I've got 8-foot plywood, and it joins right over my equalizer bar on my tandem axle. I, as crippled up as I am, I can pick the tongue up and set it on the truck.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Are you supposed to be nice?
You go down the road, it gives you that list instead of rocking.
Yeah.
And you had to know what you was doing when you built it.
You got to know how to build one. Know how to do it.
Well, was your chassis all ready to go? All except you had to re-weld it.
I had to re-weld it and put 4 foot on the back end of it.
Oh.
It was only 14 feet long. And I put 4 feet on the back. Makes me actually 18 feet and a half load space from the front of the nose to the back of my trailer.
Oh, that much?
Yeah. I've got 18 feet load space.
I have two trailers.
Yeah. From the front of my nose, where it curves around, in front. To the back here. It's about 18 feet. Right there, about 18 feet.
And you got 6 horses in there?
Yes, sir.
2 by 2?
2 by 2.
There's a place up there from the hay to it.
And my drive axle, my axle, is right in the center. The only heavy overhang I got in front is from here out. See, my tongue comes out there about 15 inches in front of this. That's all the front overhang I got. Right there out.
Not much.
Not much.
Seem like some of them, you see, they got so much out front there, you couldn't hardly balance them.
Yeah, they got too much.
Well, you had, what you had to get, the angle iron? What did you use?
For my uprights, I used angle iron.
That didn't look like very heavy angle iron. You don't need it so heavy when you got to put it close.
It's 3/16 by 1 1/4 angle iron.
Yeah.
And it's that good stuff too, because it's been McIntosh hardware down there for goodness knows how long.
Is that where you go?
I scraped the mud dauber nest, the dirt dauber nest off of it. Been there for years. Sure did.
Yeah.
And you talking about something nice to weld and to work with? That was I've never worked with metal that worked any nicer than that move.
Yeah. You ought to stock up on it, aren't you?
I bought all the head to build my trailer.
Oh, really?
cost me just on a number of $24. I sent Frank back and got another piece, which was $3.50. Then I got two flat bars, 20 feet long. The angle irons I bought and put in that trailer cost me less than $30. The angle iron, the flat bar, and everything cost me less than $30. Well, I'll tell you, that trailer out there, the way it's set, tires and everything, I've got less than $450 in it. That'd be good enough.
$450? Well, at that rate, how'd you manage the roof, Cookie?
I bought it.
Bought the roof?
Yes, sir.
I didn't say, I never heard of that.
I bought it, already molded and laid it on there, ready to drill.
Well, Cookie, it looks like the right size.
It's exactly what I've been wanting ever since I've been messing with horses and cows.
Where in the world did you find the top like that?
It's got three sections.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's got three sections, 6 foot section.
Mm-hmm.
See, an ordinary horse trailer is 6 feet long.
Yeah, you just got three.
Three, I've got three horse trailers and more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's luck. Where do you get it?
The top?
Mm-hmm.
I got it. Hale Trailer Sales up in Gainesville.
They repair them too?
They build them.
They build them.
They build them.
Oh, they build them.
I got the nose dome, the nose crown, and the top. From the back end, up and down to the front.
That cost you the most?
That cost me the most.
Anything you buy from Hales, they won't give it to you.
Well, they give me a 15% discount by buying it all there. Yes, sir. They changed managers. Out of the manager, he wouldn't give me nothing but a hard time.
And they make them.
Yes, sir.
So you can go in and tell them what you want.
I'm going to tell them what I want.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
I got the three sections of roof, crown and a nose. I got the ribs, cross ribs for the top, and the wraparound bar for the front, two of them, one for the center and one for the bottom, the whole thing. Cost me about $131.
No, that's inconceivable.
$131 for that. When me and Frank Sherman sat down and figured in what I actually put out. For material wise, floor, the slats on the sides and everything was $207 that I went and bought when we was building that thing.
Hmm. much as they you got in it?
The material that I bought extra was $207.
Yeah. How much you counting your chassis and all? Your tires?
My tires cost me $100. Yes, sir.
Good ones?
650, 16, 6 ply, nylon. You can put a load on them and forget about it.
Can you?
Yes, sir. Well, I figure about $100 for the axles, which that's what they would have cost me if I'd went and bought them with electric brakes.
Yeah.
And I figure I had about $35 or $40 in the old chassis, the old frame. So figure it up. I ain't missing far, around $450.
That roof is the nicest part of it. Well, that's nice too. That roof.
Yeah, it's heavy too. That's
is
that
it?
Real heavy gauge stuff.
Is
yes,
it?
Sir. Yes, sir.
Just high enough.
Just right.
Yeah.
Just right.
Now what you do, you tie the animals, cows or horses, whatever, you just tie them up on the side?
Yeah. Well, when I get it fixed the way I want it, I'm going to put a partition down the center that I can just pick up and take out myself.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put gates. I'm going to put two gates in there on each side. I can just pull around and shut, put my horse up in there. He can't get out. He can't come back. And that will take a lot of this out of your, when you're pulling a load of horses.
Yeah.
Say I'm pulling 6 horses.
Yeah.
They got to stay in place. Yeah. And they ain't going to give you this forward and backward motion when you're going down the road.
Yeah.
And then...
Well, they got something to hang on to.
That's right. They got something to brace to. But that's why I'm going to fix it. I may be foolish. I may never load it with 6 horses no more.
Yeah.
May never do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Good enough.
But if I ever want to, I'll have a space to put them.
Well, you make 2 trips all the time. Play your chances.
If I get things ironed out just right, I'm going back up. I think I'll leave about a day or two after Christmas. I see Christmas is on Monday, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I'll probably leave on Wednesday morning, the 27th. And drive up there, be up there Thursday morning. I load up Saturday morning, pull back in Sunday night and Monday morning.
Well,
if I go by myself.
You don't want to go by yourself.
You won't go with me?
Nah, I'd be a great help.
We'd have a lot of fun.
Hey,
take you up there and give you some of Mama's hot biscuits and brown gravy for breakfast. I'll tell you, take care of them aches and pains.
Could you 75 miles an hour on I-75 through the city of Atlanta? I wouldn't be fitting to eat hot biscuits anywhere.
A trailer behind.
You don't never know it's bad. You don't realize you're going that fast.
Yeah, but I don't have a black cigar to hide behind. See?
I have an extra one when I'm rolling. I have a box sitting beside of me.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a shame, but this place is going to pot now. Except what little you do. Ain't nothing happening up here.
But I tell you, I just telling Rick out there, I'm getting physically built back up where I can do a little something now.
Yeah.
I'm going to They won't let me go back to work at the university. Well, I can't just lay down and die. I ain't going to. I talked to Mr. Lake today, and they don't want me to come back out there like I can go out there and stay out in the weather all day.
Oh.
Yeah, he done told me that. I don't care whether I go back to the 1st of March or not. I want to have my garden ready to plant, and I have something ready to do before I go back to work out there. I'm joking. I know you got some fence back there that me and Rick can fix.
I tried to fix it, and all they do is walk through it right as soon as I fix it. That stuff is past fixing. You know, fence gets to the point where you can just walk through it.
It gets to the point, guy, where you got to take it. I just take it down and go through there and put up... You can put 3 strand up of barbed wire, and it'll turn what your wool wire been a turn.
Yeah.
They'll fight. They won't buck that barbed wire like they will that wool wire.
Oh, I've got some stays. Those little things slip up and down.
Yeah.
They're first rate. They're nice. They just cost 15, 20 cents.
Okay, you can put a post every 20 foot and a stay in the middle, and you got it made.
Well, you put 2 at that rate.
Yeah.
I got him down at John Pullman's.
And I got some more help. Frank Sermons. That fella, he's a fine fella. He's a fine fella.
Well, he must like you. He does things for you, doesn't he?
He won't let me do nothing. He told me he's not. He won't even let me bring Helen home. Won't even let me get up out of bed and go get Helen in the morning. Half the time, he'll bring her home.
Well, I don't generally, not generally envious of people, but you saw that little 2x4 trailer he was pulling over there that day.
Yeah.
Why, that just makes my mouth water.
Just as handy as a pocket on his
heart. Why, it is. And if a fella don't have something like that, it's his own fault, ain't it?
It sure is, by golly. And it's my fault, because I ain't got one. Not that little, not that handy.
Well, you see, this old trailer I've got out here, everything falls off of it. I walk, drive along, you know, have to go back and fix stuff up. It just...
No, see, I've been out of commission, by golly, completely for a year. Actually, you take last Christmas, I wasn't worth a nickel.
You sure weren't, Cookie.
I wasn't worth a nickel last Christmas.
Well?
And I ain't worth much more this Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, at least you know where you stand this Christmas.
Yeah, last Christmas, I tell you, I wouldn't give a nickel for the difference. I didn't tell anybody, but I knew there was something else. So I knew there was something happening. I didn't know what it was.
Did you?
I had the feeling that there was something happening.
How's the insurance commission coming along?
Don't know.
You lost contact?
No, I've been in contact, but they haven't heard nothing. They're kicking it around. They're trying to get me out of this $14,000 deal.
$14,000.
See, his medical expense was $6,000. His personal disability, and his automobile and boat and motor and all that kind of junk was $8,000. Personal injuries, then his medical expense, all that. Maybe they ain't said a damn word about my pickup. None of them.
How about
that? They ain't said a word about me. No, not the first word. How am I making out with my pickup? I ain't worried about that. I got news for them. I got my pickup on the road.
Yeah. Yes, sir, that insurance was just as worthless as anything I ever saw.
It's all about that away. But yet you got to pay that money out. And then to beat it all, I had to go and pay $590 before I could be, to keep from losing my license so I could drive that truck out there. Before I could drive anything.
You weren't even there.
No, I wasn't in there. Wasn't around there either. Nowhere around.
And everybody you dealt with give you a hard time.
Give me a hard time.
Well, I'm sorry, old Sigurdus couldn't find a loophole in that somewhere or other. I guess that's the wrong branch for him, Cookie. He needs the criminal law.
Yeah.
All this other stuff takes that since his time.
Well, now Wilcox, if I'd have went to him, I'd have probably got some results from him. And it ain't over with yet. It's not. I'm not done yet. It ain't over with yet.
Well, they can't collect as long as you ain't working.
Why? I'm not no hurry about going back to work either.
Well, they know the situation over there, don't they? The campus.
Yeah.
They're on your side.
Yes, sir. Mr. Lake's on my side. I talked to Lake today. Cost me about $700 to put my truck on the road.
That's all for that man. So you bashed in your right side.
Yes, sir.
And then you found one that had the left side bashed.
Yes, sir.
So you just had to cut both of them in two and sew them together?
I just sewed them together. I just tore that thing all apart. Had it strung all over my backyard. And when I went to work on that frame out there, it was laying flat on the ground. No wheels on it, no axles on it, no nothing on it. Me and Harriet Amway out there went to work, and the first thing you know, we had this sitting on four wheels.
Well, now, if it hadn't been plumb, you could have told it from this trip on those tires.
That's right.
But you couldn't tell a thing.
Them tires were wearing just as perfect as anything you ever saw. Just as perfect as anything you ever saw. You went and look at them.
You even sprung your frame.
I put another frame under it.
Yeah.
Cookie? I sure did.
Once you spring a frame, it's kind of hard to get
it
back.
It's hard. You ain't never going to get it back right.
What did you have left on that truck?
I had left front fender, the left door, the motor, and the pickup bed. I can show you the rest of it up in my backyard right now. Frame and all.
You have the motor.
I had the motor. Of course, I had to put a piston in it. Because when they busted the carburetor off of it, why, it pulled battery acid down in on top of number one piston and eat a hole in it. Battery acid eat a hole in that aluminum. Sure did.
I tell you, this Chevy, the carburetor went to plunk.
Yeah?
Well, that's simple. Just stick a nail on there. And then it acted up a time or two. It cut out on me. I just took it down one time to cut out on me, right there coming out of campus. But it cut right there where the road was wide, so it just sat there. Well, Smitty pushed it over, or Uncle Dufunny pushed it over to the gas well. A day or two later, he went out there, he was going to do something about it. I thought the ignition was something, sprung a leak. And he went out there and turned on the ignition, pushed the starter, and it started. So, that battery would go down in the most curious way, don't you know? And then you charge it about 2 minutes and it's up again. At least up enough. Well, here the other day it went out and wouldn't go up. It quit. It wouldn't even make the meters register. And I called Eddie. And he said, no, that's not your ignition or anything like that. It don't sound like, or your starter. It wouldn't make the starter work either. He says, that's just your battery. He says, you bring that over here and get a charge and get your new battery. Well, he's busy, you see. Frank was off on that trip.
He got mad at Frank because I took him off up there, and he can't understand why I took Frank up there. He can't understand.
Well, I thought they was pretty understanding over there.
He's still mad at Frank.
He's let old Joe Mitchell up here get on his book.
George Mitchell?
I told him that's the only advice I give him. I said, just don't put anything on your books. I'd go on by Aaron's experience, you see. They'll all want on your books. You know?
Oh, yeah.
But they see, that's the way people go broke. Find out for themselves, ain't it? Well, anyhow, he come over and started it, and he put he got a battery. It's a shell battery. You ever hear that?
Yes, sir.
Well, it looks like a booger. And you know what? That damn burn thing has got more pep than a brand new one. It looked like it never did have quite enough juice to run it. That old battery, you see, seemed like it's all right, but it wasn't quite there, was it?
That's right.
And you get a battery, and it'll seem like a different car.
I had to go and buy one. It cost me $28 for my pickup.
$28 for a battery?
Yes, ma'am.
Electric motor and that thing?
I got the best one that they had. The best battery they had, because I knew I was going to be using electric brakes, all them extra lights on my trailer. And these little old cheap batteries just won't stand up on them. You get me out there in the middle of the boondocks and let me down. Put me walking. I don't like to walk. Or riding a horse.
Yeah.
That's funny about Frank when we were pulling the Smoky Mountains. He said, Daddy, there's one thing about it. If we can't make it, he said, I've got a good horse to ride.
You gone a good while.
Over a week.
You were gone from here over a week.
Yeah.
Then you had all that work to do, getting ready to go.
Yeah.
So Franklin had been out for some time, hadn't he?
Yeah. Surely Ed knew he needed to get away.
That kid worked over there from the, let's see, we went home in August. Frank went with us. And he came back. He went out only stayed a few days up there, and then he rode the bus back in August. And that kid had worked every day, 7 days a week, up until just 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was time for that kid to get away, and he was going to school, too.
He had even worked through Thanksgiving or something, didn't he?
Yes, sir. 7 days a week, I mean after school, hitchhike from Hawthorne down there, and work until 9:30, 10 o'clock every night.
Now, if he had a closer place, now, on the weekend, he don't have to go all the way home?
Now, he stays over at Ed's on Saturday night. He stays with Ed.
That saves him all that transportation.
Yeah. Saves me. I'm going to come and get him. I'm going to take him home and bring him back to work. I'm going to take him to school. I'm going to pick him up at school if I'm around. Because let me tell you, fellas, that's the least I can do for him is to try to keep him away from that stuff one more time.
Mm.
One more time.
Oh, man, I hate to go down the hill with that stuff.
You don't know what it is, so you go through it one time like I have. This is two times for me. You don't know what it is, so you go through it. I know I got it in the hospital.
In the hospital?
She set a cup of coffee down. And if somebody slipped in her coffee while she was taking care of a patient. And I never will think of nothing else for what it was. Boy by the name of Jimmy Paget. And she graduated with right there in Hawthorne. I always will think that he's the probably give her that stuff. I won't think nothing else.
Yeah.
I was just so sure one night I always shot him. If I hadn't been for Large step in front of the gun, I'd have shot him.
Well, now you knew him, and he was cutting the capers around there.
He sure was, right there in Hawthorne.
Yeah. So it wasn't just a classmate. He was already broke in.
Yeah. He worked for me when I had his shop right in Hawthorne. I'd pay him $3 a week to clean up. Give him $3 a week to clean up. Didn't that little devil do me that way? Oh, my goodness. I had my gun loaded and cocked. I'd ready to pull the trigger and Laura stepped in front of me. I was going to shoot him.
Why,
I would have, Faye.
Been a good thing.
I would have. He married one of Laura's girlfriends and took her to Tampa, and there ain't a bigger dope addict in the city of Tampa right now than she is. Because Karen Cummings, one of the nurses that worked down there at the hospital where I was at, her husband's in the Air Force, and they lived in the duplex right beside them. They know them, just like that. And I got that for Tampa, right there in the hospital. Karen told me, she said, Cookie, said, there ain't a bigger dope addict in this town than I am, that girl.
Well, I tell you, I think we all
ought
to go horse trading with
Cookie. That's right.
Yeah.
All got to go horse trading.
We used to send these two out to run up and down the lane after they eat. They get so groggy after they eat.
Oh, yes.
Look at Rick,
yeah.
See?
Now, you see, they look like they're normal human beings, but they're not.
Don't listen. Rick gets his tummy full, and he gets sleepy, and they have to run up and down the lane.
Well, I'll tell you what. We all ought to go up the country. Take about 2 weeks or three. And make our headquarters at Daddy's.
Yeah, that'd be
perfect. That'd suit me fine.
And let Mama cook up some of them ham hocks and biscuits and fried potatoes.
Yeah.
Turnip greens, sorghum molasses, and dried beans, and cornbread along on the side, and horse tray during the day.
Yeah. Back up in all those hills.
Get water bound a couple of times, like me and Frank did, but was up there. See, I run my pickup and water up to the headlights. The three horses on the back of it in that trailer.
And not, he weren't worried a bit.
No, I told Frank if I drowned it out, he don't have to swim. Never felt better. Well, heck, far, 20 degree weather, Frank waded the creek. Turned the horses out. Sure did. They wouldn't walk across the water, so Frank said, well, maybe they'll walk if I go first. And he just said, come on, Apex. Right down the water, Frank went, and Apex followed him. And the rest of them followed suit right on across.
Ever see anything set any fella up like that sort of doing?
Yeah.
Just give him a truck and send him to West Virginia.
That's right. That's my whole heart's desire. I've been living for that since the seventh day of last March.
Yeah.
First thing Cookie said when he got out of the hospital was just wait till I can get the horse straight in West Virginia.
That's right. That's one more time. I think I put on about 10 pounds while I was up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just won't do it down here.
I got that too much friction.
Yeah, there's
too much friction.
Different world down here.
Too much friction. You take now Thursday night. Thursday morning, they're coming to put my septic tank in. Think I got to plank out $550 Thursday night. We didn't have all that to put out in West Virginia.
You mean over Hawthorne, you gotta have a septic tank?
I'd need them on today, but I can't get it for Thursday.
You must be getting a double size.
I'm getting what the health department tells me I got to have. They told me 2 years ago I'm going to have to put one in. I said, well, I'll put a new drain field in. When it stops up, I will put one in. Well, my drain field stopped up, and I can't go no further because it's right under that oak tree in my backyard. That long edge of the fence. Ain't no way. So now I got to put 120-foot of drain solid tile in to get to my tank. At $1.40 a foot.
Yeah.
120 feet of it.
Yeah.
$1.40 a foot.
I put in something like that right on it right here.
That's not put in either. That's just laid down out in my yard. And I got to dig a ditch for it.
And put it in.
And put it in.
Yeah.
120 feet.
That's a good bit, isn't it?
That's a bit.
I'm going to have, I tell you what, I'm going to have to go borrow some shovels for them girls because they're going to dig a ditch. I can't.
Sound good.
Sure is. You see, they put my tank in. Lay on the field. Guaranteed to pass the housing.